Lord, I'm going to, amen, ask our evangelist to come. Amen. And get prepared to release the word that God has given him. Are you thankful for our evangelist today? He's no stranger here. Amen. Praise God. He's become part of our family. Hallelujah. Bringing the word of God. Amen. Searching. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, in a time, amen, I'll say this, and we're going to release the nursery before I forget, ages 2 through 5. Can go to nursery. But in a time, the Bible tells us, the Bible has predicted, prophesied, told us that there would be false prophets, amen, false teachers that would arise, amen. And we are seeing an exposure of false teachers, false prophets, amen, false doctrine being exposed, amen. And so I'm careful and prayerful about who I allow to come, amen, and take this pulpit. I take it very serious, amen. Not only for on your behalf, but mine as well. This is my time, amen, to receive and to clean. And so I'm thankful today that, amen, we've got Evangelist Jeremy Ivy coming to, amen, take the pulpit this morning. Will you worship with him as he comes in the way we go?
These coming seasons that we're going into. And I believe that Jesus is so, so very soon to come. Very, very soon. And I'm excited, so very excited to see my Jesus. Amen. And so you guys, y'all pray for me today, because this, it's very rare that I minister without my family, the wife and the kiddos. They are back in North Alabama. Some of you may know that we're in a season where we're shepherding right now. We're pastoring and walking the line between pastoring and evangelizing. So she's holding down the fort. She's going to be ministering tonight in Alabama, and then she'll be ministering Wednesday. And so I'm excited to be here, but I miss my family. I love my wife. I thank God for my wife, my beautiful babies. But I want to say thank you to the young people letting me come up and worship for you.
Yes. Yes.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, very familiar passage of Scripture. The Lord literally did this into me. I had the text already, but the Lord spoke these words to me as I was worshiping with the young people. And I was like, man, boy, that's powerful. And so Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, if we could stand for the reading of the word.
Jeremiah 29 and 11. Hallelujah. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all."
Yeah.
With all your heart. Yeah. You may have trust issues with people, but your worship needs to have a full trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Every part of you, you need to give all to Jesus. Every bit of it. There needs to be a complete trust. You need to give God your all. I don't care who done what they done to you in your past. Jesus didn't do it to you. You need to give him your all. Sometimes the elevation and the acceleration of your breakthrough hinges upon how much of your all you're giving him. You can't give him 25% and expect 200%. You have to give him your all. He's not your ex-boyfriend. He's not your ex-girlfriend. He's not your ex-husband. He's not your ex-wife. I'm telling you, he will do to depend on, but he wants your all. You can fully devote yourself in the TikTok, and you can fully devote yourself in the social media. We live in a generation where algorithms dictate what you see, but I'm going to tell you something. The algorithm of the oil will never be shaken. The AI will never throw the I am off balance. I'm telling you, if you'll give God your all, he'll take you into places you never thought possible.
Hallelujah.
So he says, "With all your heart, and I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you." The Lord will put you in places. But he's not putting you there because he's mad at you. At the very beginning of that text, he says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil." Look at your neighbor. Say, "He ain't mad at you. He's inventing you." Hallelujah. "And I will gather you from all nations, from all the places which I have driven you, said the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Hallelujah. Now this is making reference to when Judah had been taken into captivity. But the Lord allows things to come your way so the enemy gets comfortable and comes in even more. So when the Lord can give the revelation of who he is. I'm going to let you sit down in a minute. But you understand that without the Lord, the enemy can't do anything without the Lord's release. We read in the New Testament when they came to get Jesus, and he said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am he." And when he said that, they were knocked back. They hit the ground. And they could not move. He said, "I done told you that I'm who you're looking for. You can take me now." Without God's release.
Come on.
Until Jesus says, "Get up," the enemy can't get up. But the revelation of the anointing knocks hell to its knees. Hallelujah. Dear God, verse 75, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this service. We praise you, Father, for what you've already done. Lord, I magnify you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for every breakthrough that's happening even now. Father, every generational curse that is dying even in this moment. Hallelujah. The last breath of the curse is going to be the first breath of the kingdom in somebody's life. Father, we give you praise. We magnify you, Jesus. Would you give him your most excellent praise in this house this morning? You sit down and tell your neighbor, "I am an invention of breakthrough. An invention of breakthrough." Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. In the house this morning. The invention of breakthrough. I was reading the scripture here, and the Lord began to show me something. So he said, "I know the thoughts." The word thoughts, it means a device
a plan, a purpose, or an invention. I know the invention that I see when I think about you. He said to think, which is to plan, to calculate. Everything is being made this moment. The Lord is grafting things that you can't see. He's doing something in your mind right now that it can't grasp, because carnality and flesh cannot invent what God does. Because it is genuine, it is real, it is not false. So when the Lord does something in our lives, He does it in the specifics of the season that we're in. He knows exactly what He is doing when He does it. Yes. You think that your drama caught Him off guard. You think your trauma caught Him off guard. You think the sickness caught Him off guard. You think people that walked out of your life, it surprised Him. He was not surprised. Everything has been meticulously planned. God knows. Now, I don't want to get it twisted, boo-boo. I'm not talking about when you create your own mess. I'm not talking about when you're the drama, sir. I'm not talking about what you're sowing. I'm talking about the things that God is allowing right now that you're thinking, Lord, are you mad at me? What did I do? Why is this happening to me? Don't even think for a second that He's mad at you. Baby, He's inventing you. Hallelujah. He says that He thinks to plan, esteem, calculates, to imagine or be considered. Just as He would tell the devil, He said, have you considered my servant Job? It wasn't that God was mad at Job, but He was inventing something, a breakthrough, a double portion that Job could not see. Because when you're in the thick of it, you don't see what God is doing in that moment. You don't see the hand of God at work, how He's planning things. All you're seeing is the mess while God is inventing and designing the masterpiece. Hallelujah. That I think towards you, above, beyond, towards, against. He is inventing you to go against the plans of the enemy. Now I want you to turn over to 1 Samuel, because the Lord began to speak with me about this, and I'm going to You guys have got such anointing in this house. Some of y'all probably already heard this 3 or 4 times. But when the Lord dealt with me about the perspective in this passage of Scripture, I never looked at it from the point of view that the Lord just really revealed it to me. And so in 1 Samuel, we read about David. Now, I'm not so much going to be preaching about David as I am going to be talking about an invention that the Lord used. So we know the story of David. We know that he is anointed king. We know this. I want to talk to you about the king for a minute, the king David. So David goes back to his assignment. He's still shepherding. So you need to know that when this moment we're going to talk about, we're not going to just say David. We're going to say king. We're going to say the king. Because you need to know that the Lord, Jesus, He is our King. His Father sent Him to rule over us, and He died for our sins, and all of these things, and He became an invention that they didn't have in the Old Testament, the blood of Jesus. There wasn't blood of goats anymore. There wasn't any kind of other sacrifice. Jesus became an invention of what we could not do, because He was able to break through things. The veil was rent. All of the things that happened where we could not go, He made it possible for us to be there. Amen, somebody. So He knew what He was doing. He knew it was all. The end was established before the beginning. He knew what He was doing. Amen. So today we're not just going to say David, and I might slip up a couple times and say David, but we're going to talk about the king. So just remember that. All right. So we read that the Philistines have came, and for 40 days they have came into the valley of Elah. And Scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14, and the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Now, I want to talk to you this morning, teach, preach, however it's going to go, from a perspective. Now, I want you to use your imagination. Use your thinking caps. Because I want you to just use your imagination, because there's times that you'll be in the shower and you'll have a conversation that you'll never have with somebody. So you can imagine what you're going to say to somebody that you've never said to anybody. It'll be easy for you to think of from a different perspective this morning. I want to talk to you this morning from the perspective of the stones that were in the brook. I want to talk to you about those stones, and I want you to imagine yourself as that stone. You see, the Philistines had came to the valley of Elah. And just think, before this moment happened, the stones that were in the brook enjoyed their peace. They had been in the brook. They had been in the flow. See, when you get in this thing, when you get saved, I remember when I got saved, I wanted everybody to have the Holy Ghost. I wanted to tell everybody, but somewhere along the way, through the things that I went through some of the hardships that we've been through, through some of the abandonment some of us have been through, some of the betrayals that some of us have been through, we don't have the same joy. We've kind of left some things. And I would encourage you this morning that you need to get back to that joy, to stir up that gift. Amen. Stir up the gift that's inside of you. Stir it up. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Yeah, so the stones are sitting in the brook. And to just kind of paint a picture to you, these stones have been used to the sheep coming up and drinking from this brook. You see, the stone, he is right there in the open, and he's in the middle of the flow of things, and he has peace, and everything in his life is normal. Everything is okay. You ever have times where everything's just the way it needs to be, and sometimes suddenly something comes along and shakes it up that you didn't ask for? And I imagine that as this stone was sitting in the brook just minding his business, that he would watch as the sheep would come up and they would dip down and they would drink from the water. And no doubt some of the oil that was on the sheep that the shepherds had put on the oil would drip into the water. And the stone would take advantage of how the oil would drip through the stream. And maybe there'd be times that oil would brush up against the stone. And I imagine that the stone would watch as they would come with the harvest and they would go through, and maybe some of the wheat would get into the brook and flow down. The stone would enjoy what it felt like to have the harvest swim by or pass by through the brook. And so the stone has got comfortable. But then all of a sudden there is a vibration. All of a sudden the ground begins to shake. All of a sudden the ground begins to vibrate, and it sees the sheep begin to leave. And you understand that during this 40 days, they could not go about business as usual, because in the valley it had been devoured by Philistines. Now what the stone knew every single day, the comfortability that it had, it knew every day, about this time the sheep will come up, they'll get something to drink, and then about this time David may be walking by with his father's sheep, but now all of a sudden its world has turned upside down. Now all of a sudden everything that it knew, everything that it was comfortable with, was no longer there. Now the stone, as it's laying open, it would see the sun. When the sun would come up, it would see the moon. It always was surrounded by the light. It had everything. But now all of a sudden what it has known, everything that it was used to, has changed. Everything that it was comfortable with has changed. And the stone began to, if it had eyes, I imagine it would see this army of Philistines come up to the brook, these nasty devils coming up and sticking their snouts in this water. And then in this water, this brook is being tainted by the devil coming up in its backyard. Now it ain't got the sheep. Now it's got nothing but Satan coming up in there, running its mouth. Can I tell you that sometimes the Lord will lift up a hedge so even the devil can think that he's winning? And so as the stone was laying there looking up in the brook, saying, I don't have the comfortability of the sheep around me no more. People that used to be in my life ain't there no more. People I used to go to, they're not there no more. Now all of a sudden I'm in a place that I did not ask for. Now all of a sudden the harvest that I was used to, the Pentecostal pimples we like to talk about, it's not there no more. Now all of a sudden I feel like I'm in a place of isolation and the enemy is surrounding me. And now all of a sudden the brook is even vibrating with the steps of this uncircumcised Philistine as he begins to yell and holler. And he's tainted the water. He thinks I'm comfortable. My comfortability circle is gone. My circle's been destroyed. And now in the place that I didn't want to be in, Lord, send some help. Send some help, Jesus. Get us out of this, Jesus. Why are you doing this, Jesus? Have you been there? Did you understand that before this thing was a stone, it was a rock? Because stones, when they sit in the water, years and years and years, it will knock things off of it. Smoothing it out. Maybe the bad attitude, maybe it had to sit in that brook for a long time. Maybe the bad attitude had to be knocked off.
Come on.
Maybe the pride had to be trimmed down. Some of y'all are trying to rush your process, but a rock won't cut through the air like a stone will. He needs you to be perfectly in position. He will allow you to stay on the potter's wheel a little while. He'll allow you to stay in a place a little while longer because he sees what you don't see. Where you're only seeing this right here. You can't see what's behind you. You can't see what's on your shoulder behind you. And he's got you there. And now while the brook is still flowing, you understand that the brook never stops flowing even though the enemy is there.
Come on.
The brook never stops doing what it's supposed to do. The Spirit of God is not intimidated by the environment. The Spirit of God influences the environment. The Spirit of God changes the environment. So the stone is sitting there, and now he don't see the sheep that he used to see. Now he don't see the shepherds. Now he doesn't see the people that would work the fields and come by and do the harvest. They're all gone. Now all he sees is the enemy. Do you ever feel like you're sitting in the shadow of the enemy? Even in church services. You see, the stone was in church in a way because it was surrounded by the anointing. It's surrounded by the flow. But even while the flow is there, the enemy was there. When I would do good, evil was present with me. Come on, somebody. There have been times that I've been in church services when there were people that were sitting around me where they were smiling to my face, but they were trying to plot my downfall at the same time. But I found the wherewithal to praise in spite of. God wants you to praise in spite of. He is inventing something in you. He's moving some things around you. You don't see it right now, but he is making plans. He knows what he's doing. He ain't mad at you, baby. He's making you. So the stone sits there. No doubt if the stone could pray, just imagine that you're the stone right now. And you're in a position that you can't get out of. You've been waiting for a long time. God, when is my help going to come? Lord, send my breakthrough. Lord, I need my breakthrough. I need my peace. Why are you allowing this to go on? See, the stone didn't know that it was only going to be 40 days. Sometimes your season feels eternal. Sometimes it feels eternal. Sometimes it feels like it's never ending. You have no idea what God's doing, but it is a season. I came to tell somebody that Ecclesiastes says that for everything there is a season. The word thing, that's a noun. It's a person, place, or a thing. You can bind up a thing. You can tie up a thing. But the anointing is a verb. It can't be restricted. It can't be bound up. It can't be held down. So the enemy says your season is over. No, the flesh realm is over, but the spirit realm can't be restricted. What God is about to do, my Lord, some of y'all need to pick that up. What God's about to do, and yet that you can't see right now, he is inventing the breakthrough for your children. He's inventing the breakthrough for your marriage. And he's going to use you to do it. But you got to hold on to the process. Don't give up. Don't quit in the pit. God's got plans. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it fell upon the day that the king is sent on assignment to go feed his brethren. So the king walks down the hill, goes to his father's house. He says, I need you to take this food down there. They're down there in war. The king gets down there. He hears all of this stuff that's going on. He hears the lies. He hears the mocking. He hears all of these things. And then that assignment, that directive, the anointing that is in his life goes into effect. Your anointing, some of you think that your anointing is only activated in the good times. If we would get ourselves where we needed to be in praise all the time, your anointing activates in the middle of everything that's going wrong. And then when the enemy comes in like a flood, that's when the spirit is activated. But I gotta praise him in the flood. I gotta praise him in the pain. I gotta worship him when I'm wounded. I gotta thank him when nobody else is thankful. When nobody's telling me I'm gonna make it through. I've gotta praise him. I've gotta praise him. I gotta magnify him because he knows what he's doing. He knows the thoughts. He knows that he's got a purpose for the soul. I know that I'm in pain, but God, I know.
what's right. You need to be the difference.
So we know what happens next. He says, what's going to happen to the man? He says, you're going to get this, you're going to get this. But then the king goes and he walks down by the brook. And I imagine that as that stone was sitting there looking up, and he was surrounded by his friends, and they're all fearful, and they don't know what's going to happen. The stone is looking up. When is my deliverance going to come? I've been here year after year after year. Been getting prepared. Things that's knocked off me. Some of us, we fasted. We've sought at the Lord. We've consecrated ourselves to get things out of the way, get our flesh under control and choose the right things, make the right decisions, say the prayer when we need to pray. You've done everything that you need to do, and now you're surrounded by the oppressor. Now you're surrounded by the bondage, and you don't know a way out. You're saying, Jesus, send me some help, Lord. Get me out of this. And then all of a sudden, that poor little stone that had been watching this, the Philistines would stick their hand in that brook and maybe walk through it with their dirty feet and just mock everything, mock the valley, mock the sheep, mock all of this. And the stone is sitting there saying, wait a minute, them some good people. That's my family you're talking about. Why are you coming against my family? Sometimes he knows he can't get you, so he'll come after your family. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? He's just walking and trampling all through. Amen. What have you seen? The lustiness and everything. The seed ain't there. People ain't operating no more. All of these things that's going wrong. He said, come, Lord Jesus. Move, Lord Jesus. And then all of a sudden, down by the brook, here comes the king. Down by the brook, step by step, here comes the king. It's that moment that we've been waiting for. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Here comes my moment. Thank you, Jesus. Here comes my breakthrough. Then all of a sudden, the king sticks his hands down. And that soul looks up and sees the fingertips of the king. Now, ain't it something? When camp meetings going on, when revival's going on, when everybody's getting blessed, and you think it's about to go your way, everybody can shout in. Everybody can praise in. Oh, yeah, we finna get out of this. Oh, you done messed up now. You done messed up. He's getting me out of here. See y'all later. Lord, translate me somewhere else. I'm just going to be here and then I'm going to be not. Sometimes we think the Lord is going to escape us away. Sometimes we think that he's not going to allow confrontation to happen. See, for your flesh to be crucified, you've got to confront flesh. Without confrontation, there'll be no crucifixion.
Come on.
You've got to confront the issue. You have to. So the king sticks his hands down and he picks up the stone. This got five stones in his hand. Could you just imagine? All this time, now you're in the hand of the king. Man, I imagine if them stones could have shouted, they'd have been dancing all over. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in the hand of the king. Woo! I done got out of here. Hey, glory. Hey! I imagine if they could have spoken in tongues, they'd have been a shunda or a shanana. Yeah, we out of this. Lord, you're doing it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. But then all of a sudden, the king does something that the stone does not expect it to do. The king takes the stone and sticks it in the shepherd's bag and closes it. Now the stone goes from being in the wide open where it can see the moon, it can see the sun. Now it can't see nothing around it. Can I tell you that God will put you in a place that you can't see? He'll put you in a place where you don't know what's going on. And sometimes it feels like abandonment, but it's really not abandonment. He's creating a silence. He's putting you in a secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And inside the shepherd's bag, God, you've abandoned me. What are you doing? My comfortability is gone. Everything's going wrong. And I can hear the enemy on the outside, but I can't see it.
The fear, no doubt, that that stone could have feelings. Do you ever feel like God took you right out of the frying pan and put you right in the furnace? The stone is inside the shepherd's bag. Can't see his way out. Now the comfortability of the moon is gone. The warmth of the sun is gone.
Now he's further away from his comfort zone. Now he don't even feel the brook no more. Now he's inside of this place, this leather. He don't feel the warmth of the water. He don't feel it moving. Now he's got stability. Oh, Jesus. What he don't know is that where he's thinking about he's in the darkness, he's actually walking with the King. See, some of you think that the Lord has put you in the darkness, but in all reality, he's put you by his side because he wants you to go with him to a place that you can't see, but he walks in. He wants you to be in a place that the enemy can't see, but you're connected to him. See, you understand that if Goliath wanted to, he could not stick his hand inside the shepherd's bag because the enemy's hand is not designed to be inside the anointing. It's not designed to be inside the covering. It's not designed to be inside the covenant. There's something about being covered in the blood that even in your darkest time, the enemy cannot fit his hand where you're at. God knows what he's doing. He's not abandoned you. He's not left you. He's not thinking evil to you. Honey, he ain't leading you to leave you.
Come on.
Then the King gets in front of the adversary. The King sticks his hands inside the shepherd's bag. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you delivered me again. I see the sun. But man, the roaring is louder than it was earlier. Now I'm closer to the mess than I was earlier. I imagine that if that stone could talk, when it got in David's hand and seen Goliath, he was probably saying, put me back, put me back. Put me back. You done got me too close. Oh, Lord. Lord, whatever you got to do to get a hold of my family, do it. Until whatever you got to do shows up. Lord, do whatever you got to do to change the situation. Until whatever he does shows up. And he say, Lord, wait a minute. Go back, go back, go back, go back. Go back, go back, go back. Can I tell you, God knows what he's doing. Don't go back. Just trust where he's putting you. Because he's making an invention. Then David puts the stone inside of the sling. Breakthrough is not a park. It's not an amusement park. As a matter of fact, breakthrough looks different from heaven's point of view. Breakthrough looks a lot different. See, sometimes the Lord will put you in a dark place where you don't know what's going on. You have no idea what he's devising. You have no idea what he's planning. And David puts the stone inside the sling. It wasn't one of the, y'all know what it is. It wasn't one of those pullback things. He's got that stone in there, and it's hanging by his side. Now he goes from being in the darkness, and now he's looking at the feet of the King. And he's just kind of like, I imagine David was just sizing up, getting ready. And the stone is right there at the feet of the King. My Lord. Oh, you need to take advantage when you're at his footsteps. You need to take advantage when you're at his feet. I imagine some of us need to get back there. And it becomes it's the wind up and the release that starts at the feet. You see, every motion, every forward motion, even a boxer, they lead off with their foot. They lead off with the heel. And they go into it because your steps seem to be his steps. Because if you're going to knock the enemy down, you got to be in the alignment with him. You got to be within his steps. You got to be within his flow. You tried your motive and it didn't work. You tried your agenda and it didn't work. But when you get into the alignment and you get into the flow of the Father, baby, get ready what he's about to do. Some of y'all need to be off of rhythm. Rather, you think you sit there when they were in the day of Pentecost. They were in one mind, in one place. They all had to come together. Why do you think the enemy wants to get you out of unity? Because if you're out of unity, you're out of the flow. You're out of the rhythm of the Father. You're out of the rhythm of the anointing. But when you're in rhythm with the oil. So David, or the King, he's got that stone. And then all of a sudden, he begins to raise it up and slings it all over the place. Hey, you ever felt like God was driving you crazy? He's got you all over the place. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's going on. You're going north, east, south, and west. Everything's going crazy. And you're saying, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Now I ain't even nowhere near the ground. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Amen. Come on, somebody. Come on, listen to me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness up in where? High places. You
gave you dominion on the earth. While that stone was cutting the air, dominion was in the air. While you thinking, Lord, what are you doing? I'm all over the place. I don't know where I'm at. I don't even have my security no more. Yeah, you do. You're still connected to his hand. You're still connected to his hand. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, if you just knew what he was doing. And hear that song's all over the place. What in the world? I thought I was supposed to be over here. Now you're doing this. What are you doing, God? When you're in his will, he'll take you places you never went. But you got to trust being in his hands.
Yes.
That song is getting slung all over the place. He goes from being comfortable. He goes to where he's surrounded by the brook. He's surrounded by the water. And now all of a sudden he's been taken out because the enemy is great. Now all of a sudden he gets put in a shepherd's bag and it's dark and he don't know his way. Then all of a sudden he's put in a sling and God is slinging him all over the place. And all of a sudden he takes and he realizes as he's going by, wait a minute, that giant is a lot closer than it used to be. Wait a minute, I'm closer to the adversary than I was before. I'm closer now. My goodness, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why have you got me here? And you notice there in Jeremiah, he said, I will bring you back to the place where I delivered you from. In that moment, the king stands before the bondage. The king stands before captivity. And the stone, who was thinking that David was going to do it all of his own, David takes the invention that God created for that moment. You have to understand that everything you've been through has been leading up to this moment. All of the crucifying you had to do in your place, all the lies you endured, all the sickness you endured, and in your circle being thrown all over the place, everything changed, the environment changed, and now all of a sudden, an invention of breakthrough is sitting inside that sling. Now in this moment, an invention of breakthrough is about to cut through the air, where you were thinking God was mad at you, where you were thinking he was abandoning you. No, baby, he invented you for this moment. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know the invention that I'm going to make you in. You're going to go back and be an invention of revival in your house.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And the stone is released. The invention is released. I imagine that as that stone was cutting through the air, what its thoughts was that it could think. You ever said, Lord, what are you doing? You just released me. What's going on? What's going on? Whipping through the air, the acceleration that's going on, all the things that are happening. Why is this coming? Oh, Lord, I'm getting closer to it. I'm getting closer to it. I'm getting closer to it. Oh, God, you got to rescue me. You got to get me out of this. Why did you send me here? Why did you send me here? I wanted you to deliver me from it, but now you're sending me to it. What are you doing, God? What are you doing? He said, I've invented you for this moment. And that stone hits that giant right in its head, and the giant falls. Revival looks different from heaven's point of view. Breakthrough is messy, and it's always going to be different than your comfort zone. It's always going to be different. And when the stone hits Goliath in its head, now he is in the pasture. Now he's in the field of the harvest. Now he's back in the dominion. Now he's back connected to the foundation. And everything that messed up the scenery is laying down beside the stone. The stone is looking over and it sees what had been yelling. It sees what had been causing the problems. And then it sees the king walk up and takes the enemy's weapon. What the enemy meant for evil, God makes it good. He had to make you into an invention. He had to make you into a purpose. He had to make you into his plan. Baby, he knows. He knows your release is about to happen.
And that stone, it now doesn't hear the yell anymore. It doesn't hear the hollering. Now, it's not just watching as the sheep drink around it. Now it's walking where the sheep walked. Now it's sitting where the shepherds walked. Now it has back the land that the Philistines have taken. But it took a process. It took a process. It took something
The invention of breakthrough does not look like you think it's going to look.
Come on, come on.
I know the invention that I've got planned for you. I know what I'm about to do in your marriage. I know what I'm about to do in your children. I know what I'm about to do in your church. I know what I'm about to do at your job. Right now, I just need you to trust the process. Don't rush it. Just trust it. Just know that when you think that you're in the darkness and you're all by yourself, you're right where I put you. I put you there. I've allowed you. He said, I'm going to take you from the nation, and then I'm going to bring you back. And this time when you come back, it's going to be different. When that stone, could you imagine if that stone could talk, what he would say to his buddies? Man, let me tell you, the king came by, picked me up, and he put me in the sand. Never seen nothing like it in my life. Didn't know what was going on. But he took me. You know that thing I've been living in fear of? You imagine the testimony that stone had? Can you imagine the testimony that you'll have? And then when God gets through, if you'll hold on, the testimony of breakthrough, the testimony of the healing, the testimony of the revelation. Some of y'all need to praise it because he's inventing a breakthrough. He's inventing a testimony. He's inventing a movement. Fast forward. They crucify Jesus. And everybody's all up in arms. The Jews are telling the army, they said, you need to get his body. You need to get it and hide it. And the invention of breakthrough is happening in a dark place. They took the stone that the builders rejected. And they covered it up where nobody could see. You need to praise God for what you see that he's not doing right now. And inside the shepherd's covering, inside his father's covering, revival is happening. The moment meticulously is happening. And then early that morning. I know we talked about Easter Sunday. This has kind of turned into an Easter message. Didn't even mean it to. But it came upon the day that the stone is rolled out of the way and the invention of our breakthrough walks out of the tomb. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And then Jesus, they say it was about 40 days that he walked around. 40 days he walks around. The Philistine was there for 40 days. 40 days. No doubt they knew he was going to leave. And he tells them, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, if I don't go, the helper can't come. He can't come. If I don't go, if the king doesn't go through his plan. And he tells them, he says, I'm sending something. Acts chapter 1, he says, ye shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Baby, the Holy Ghost was our invention. For us, custom fitted just for you. Somebody praise me.
Hallelujah.
I went through a situation. Went through a situation earlier this year. And we're seeing God move. I was seeing all God doing all kinds of miracles. And ain't it something you can see God do something for everybody else? And you're saying, Lord, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? You don't need to say, what are you doing to me anymore? You need to say, what are you doing for me?
Woo!
We were sitting in our car, and I looked at my wife. I've been in this my whole life. Been in it my whole life. Seeing God do some stuff. Even when I was backslidden, I was around church. Seeing God do so much. Even when I was in the ditch and I seen the hand of God move.
Come on.
I've seen miracle after miracle. Just this week, just to take a miracle, and I think I told Pastor about this. There was a man that came. We were in Texas doing a revival Monday through Friday. The first night of the revival, there was a man that came, had an aneurysm in his stomach. They were going to have to do surgery on it. Stomach was just abnormally out of place. It was just weird how the aneurysm had caused this infection and everything around it. And I asked him, I said, do you believe Jesus can heal you tonight? He said, oh, I know he does. I know he can. I know he will. And I know he is.
Come on.
It's in your faith.
Right.
And it's in your obedience. See, a lot of people want to be used, but they don't want to be useful. A stone has more purpose than just sitting there. Do you know that when the stone goes through all of the things that it goes through to get it molded in that position, when the stone comes out of the brook, it becomes a wet stone. And it is used to sharpen things. You're not just for you and to be pretty. You are made to be a servant. You are made to be the assignment of somebody else's breakthrough because you're a witness. A witness is a testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. The words of their testimony. You had to be tested to get the testimony. And I'm telling you, God's going to use you to sharpen some people around you if you'll allow him to do it. Don't just say, I want to be used. Lord, make me useful.
Yes.
The stone had more purpose after that moment than just slaying giants. No doubt going through that valley. How many warriors, how many soldiers you think might have passed through and seen that stone? No doubt may have had a little bit of blood on it and said, I need my sword. My sword is a little bit dull. I can take this thing and sharpen it. No doubt they had no idea the heritage of the giant that fell. No doubt the revival and the story that was with it. Can I tell you that iron sharpens iron and God will use you and what you've been through to help your brother and help your sister get out of your pity. He said that you shall have power after that Holy Ghost come upon you. I got power. I ain't got pity. I got power. I got power. I got power. Look over at my wife. Frustrated, man. Mad. Angry, disappointed, didn't know why this was going on. I knew I hadn't done anything to anybody. I ain't perfect, but I knew this that I was going through wasn't something of my design. Sometimes your storm is just the invention of the drama you designed. That's free. Somebody write it down. Quit following me on Facebook. Right? But I sat down in the front seat of the car. We were at home in our front yard. Kids were asleep in the car. And I don't speak around my kids if I'm going through something. Kids in ministry, they see it anyway. If you're a preacher's kids, you see it. But I know a lot of preacher's kids that saw their parents go through things, but they never heard their parents talk about it. They saw their parents persevere. And that's how you train a child. Because if you're in ministry, you don't focus on all the negative. You say, I've got to get through this.
Yeah.
And your kids will be able to say, I saw my mom and I saw my dad. When everybody walked away with tears in their eyes and a smile on their face, they were still a servant and they still went forward. It is not what I'm going through in that moment. It's the legacy that I'm going to leave and what I'm going to instill in my children so that when they go through their trials, they can go back to a legacy where a stone that knocked the giant down that was laying there, they can say, I remember that time that Dad didn't ask for the situation, but he endured it as a good soldier. And he said, if Daddy can do it, and she'll say, if Daddy can do it, if Mama can do it, I know that we can. If God delivered them, it might have looked a little bit crazy. It might not have made sense to everybody else. It might have required us to get out of our comfort zone. But I do know this. He's no respecter of person. And what he done for Mama, he's going to do for me. What he done for Daddy, he's going to do for me. What he done for this one, what he done for Peter, he's going to do for me. What he done for David, he's going to do for me. What he done for Noah, he's going to do for me. What he done for Moses, he's going to do for me. What he done for Mary, he's going to do for me. What he done for Deborah, he's going to do for me. He is no respecter of person. And I know he invented that moment, and he invented them the breakthrough, and he's inventing me right now. Yeah. I got all upset in the car. Y'all give me 5 minutes, I'm going to shut up, okay?
Go ahead.
I'm not sitting down because I'm tired. I'm going to sit down because I'm going to show y'all how we do. I sat down on my blessed assurance. I said, I feel like he's abandoned me. feel like he's mad at me. I give and I give and I give. And I make myself available. And I feel like he's mad at me. And the devil wants to take and use that as a moment to make you feel like you're on an island by yourself.
Come on.
And my wife, she looks at me. She says, Jeremy, you're going to get through this. And while all this was going on, I'm still preaching. I'm still in the sling. I'm still swinging around, not knowing what's next. And I went and done this conference over in Indiana. And this pastor comes up to me who has no idea. I walk into church, you know how we do. We got that, we put on that Pentecostal face, you know. Smile like everything's all right. And I worship. I don't allow my wound to infect my worship.
All right, come on.
I worship so my worship infects my wound.
Come on.
Woo! Now I'm cutting up with everybody. I'm not all in my feelings, broke, busted, and disgusted, and can't be trusted. I'm not crying. I'm not coming in there and just barely dragging through. Because I didn't want nobody to look at me and lose hope. I'm preaching to somebody right now. This pastor comes up to me. He says, God didn't put you here in this position for them. He says, you prayed a prayer.
Come on.
And God is molding you in this moment for you. Because you prayed, Lord, let me be more effective.
Come on.
And he says, oh, I'm going to make you the most effective stone in the brook. You're going to go through some things, but I'm going to invent you to go through things you never would have made through had it not been me making you for this moment. Some of you need to thank God that right now he is giving you exactly what he wanted you to have. What you prayed for, he's giving it to you. And when it is over, you're going to look back and say, Lord, I wish I'd have prayed differently to know that I was being molded in that moment. That your plans for me were for breakthrough. Your plans for me was to be the invention that cut down the generational curse of my family. That there would be times that I would go into rooms where used to the insecurity would be so much on me that I felt like I couldn't even talk and I couldn't even breathe. But Lord, you made me a stone that when I walked into the room, I wasn't insecure anymore. But because I'm your stone, I'm secure because I'm founded on you. And people could come and they say, how did you make it through? And then I could be a witness and I could say, Jesus had me in the shepherd's bag. The king came by my way one day when everything was going wrong. He picked me up, amen, and had me right in the palm of his hand. Even if it wasn't but just for a moment, I was there. Let me tell you that I knew that he had me. I knew that when the giant was roaring, I was in the hand of the king. I knew when I was in the sling, I was in the presence of the king. I was connected to the king. At no point don't ever be dismayed. Don't be discouraged and let the devil tell you you're disconnected from God. Baby, you're connected to kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
See, some of you right now, you have been thinking, Lord, you're mad at me. You've been thinking, it ain't going to get no better. That's a lie. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Do you know another definition of the word peace in Hebrew is alignment? I'm thinking alignment. Your family has been off balance. Everybody up until you was crazy. I know about what I'm talking about with that. If I was to introduce y'all to my family, y'all would say, there's no way. Ashley's grandmother was at home one day, and my dad, I would say it if he was here. My dad came by. My dad, he's probably about 5'4". I'm 6 foot tall. My mom was 5 foot. Me and my dad look nothing alike. We talk nothing alike. And we call her Nana. Ashley had went over to do something. Nana tells Ashley, she says, let me pause and tell you a story. See, my dad wasn't in the picture. My dad, for many, many years, would text me, even in recent years, asking me when I was born. He don't have Alzheimer's. He don't have dementia. Nothing like that. When I was a kid, he would call the house sometimes and ask Mom, when's his birthday again? And I'm the only child. I could see it if he was like me and Ashley, and we got 50-11 kids. My dad was incarcerated for a long period of time. My dad, there was things that happened in my father's life, things that I went through as a child. And Ashley's Nana tells her, she says, are we sure that's Jeremy's dad? She said, yeah, that's his dad. She said, he don't look nothing like his daddy. She said, I knew his mom. His mom was a little woman. That's a little man. She said, he don't look nothing like his daddy. I don't look nothing like where he delivered me from. I look like a total different thing. An invention is something that is made specific. It is made with intimacy. It is made with a purpose. You are made with a purpose. He's not mad at you. He's positioning you. He's not angry at you. He's assigning you. You are the invention of breakthrough. With everything that's going on in this world today, you got all these people that are fear-mongering. If you're in fear right now, it might be that it's conviction. If you're afraid of his coming, you need to get right. You're thinking that, oh, it's so bad. You are a light. He said, you're a city that is set upon a hill that can't be hid. You don't make any sense. You're an anomaly. The light shined in the darkness. The light was an invention. You're an invention that makes no sense. It makes no sense that a little stone could knock down this massive giant. But with the velocity of the anointing, with the flow of the oil, when all the ingredients are there, you are a world changer. You're a family changer. You're a generational curse breaker. You are the difference. But you've got to say, Lord, let me be released. Let me be released. Let me be released. Some of y'all want to hide in the sling, but he's saying, I got to let you go so you can go into your purpose. Let me out of the comfort zone of the sling, Father. This morning, I want to know who's ready to be the invention of breakthrough. You're not going to get it in your comfort zone. You're not going to get it hiding in a shepherd's bag. He didn't save you.
He didn't fill you with a spirit like that.
Praise the Lord. He didn't fill you with his spirit for you to hide in the bunker. He's equipped you.
He's equipped you. Yeah.
Hallelujah. swap with me. I don't know where the microphone is. This morning, who wants to get out of the brook? Who wants to get out of the brook? All of this area here that I see, this altar, I see a sling. This area, I see a sling. I see the preparations of invention. I see the diagram of breakthrough. I see the diagram of revival. I see the layout of it. But I will never walk in it if I stay where I'm at. I'll never get it. I'll never attain it in my pew. I'll never attain it in my comfort zone. Some of you this morning, the release comes when you release yourself from your seat and you come up here and you say, Lord, send me to my giant. Send me to my moment. Let me be the difference maker, Lord. Let me be the difference maker. Mold me and fit me into what you have me to be. This morning, I challenge you. I challenge you. If you're not saved this morning, if you don't know Jesus, these altars are open. These altars are open if you don't know the Lord. But I feel like this morning some of us need to be released from the sling. Yes. It's your moment. You're not going to get it sitting back as they begin to play and as they begin to sling and sing. Why don't you sling yourself up here and begin to worship Him this morning? Hallelujah.